good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. Before I always do it, I do a little disclaimer. And let's see here. All right. Make sure we get this all set. I'm not a preacher, a deacon, a rabbi. I'm nobody. I'm not clergy. I'm not, a priest. It's just a guy that loves to read the Bible. How you interpret it, how I interpret it might be two different things, but that's what's wonderful about the Bible. It's open to interpretation. So bottom line is, best thing you can do is just pick it up. Now, I have a cold tonight, so it's my allergies and stuff like that. So I probably won't run my camera because my nose has been running and everything else. So anyway, we're going to get into what we've been talking about last week, and we moved on to chapter 1. And we're through Exodus, we're in Leviticus. And this is a wonderful book. So, I mean, this is just the greatest true love story ever written. And it's just, oh my gosh, the facts, artifacts, the encounters, the witnesses, everything else just goes and pulls this whole book together, the truth and everything else. That the Bible is an absolute living, breathing, wonderful word of Christ God. So we're going to get into this, and it's just absolutely wonderful. But anyway, I am going to stop my cam here. Okay, and we're going to get into chapter 1. We are on page 122 of the King James Bible. I love the King James. It's a great, great, wonderful set of books, I should say. And it's the oldest, and I like it. It's hard for some people to read. I enjoy it. So we're going to get on into it. And we are on the burnt offerings. And, people are like, okay, I don't get all the burnt offerings and everything. It will come to you later on as we go through, and why. Everything is based on God's statutes, commands, his law and everything else. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And the more that we get to delve into it and appreciate it and honor and give praise and glory to God, the better off that we are going to be. And I just don't think too many people realize that in today's world. So the patriarchs of the Old Testament, exactly who are those? Well, there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They built altars and made sacrifices to God wherever they settled. And you're like, well, why? Why do they have to make sacrifices? God loved the aroma, the smell, the sweet Savior. And he mentions this multiple times. And Noah offered sacrifices of thanksgiving after the great flood. Most of these sacrifices involved the shedding of blood, a method God instituted to prepare his people for the Messiah's ultimate sacrifice for sins. So as we're knowing this, and we're seeing this, and this demonstrate human need and God's merciful provision. The burnt offering involved a male animal wholly consumed by fire. The animal was killed, and the priest collected the blood and sprinkled it about the altar, in the tabernacle and everything. And the burning symbolized the worshiper's desire to be purged of sinful acts. The meat offering or grain offering described in Leviticus was similar to the purpose of the burnt offering. The grain offering was brought to the priest, who threw a portion of fire accompanied by the burning incense. The peace offering was a ritual meat shared with God, the priests, and often other worshipers. A voluntary animal offering, the sacrifice expressed praise to God and fellowship with others. Jacob and Laban followed this sacrifice when they made a treaty. The sin offering, also known as the guilt offering, was offered to make atonement for sins for which restitution was not possible. The trespass offering was made for the lesser or unintentional offenses for which restitution was possible. So it's you know, if you're wondering pretty much why that this is being done, this pretty much explains it right there. And but why these animals? You're thinking innocent animals, and they're doing this. Well, understand, God has a plan. And the wonderful thing about the Bible is there's, first of all, there's 63,000 plus cross-references, Old Testament to New Testament. And we've covered some of these when we were in Jacob and Jacob's dream and Jacob visions of angels ascending and descending down the ladder, and the ladder was narrow. And then we get into Matthew or Luke in the New Testament. And Christ talks about how the way to life, to everlasting life, the road is narrow, the path is narrow, the gate is narrow, and wide is the road to destruction. You know, so you're seeing these things. Of course, Christ is the cornerstone, and Jacob is sleeping on stones. And what is, you think about this, you can see the parallelisms in it. You could see the wonderful things going on in the background, but there's so much going on in the background that we miss so much of it. So anyway, we're going to get on to this. And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. And why without blemish? There is, here we go. We have another parallelism here that we're going to see, another connect the dots type deal that's going to follow right along, right next to each other in the New Testament. An animal without blemish and a male without blemish. Why a male? Why without blemish? Christ is a man. He came here as a man, but he was God, a part of God. Okay, and how do we know this? Well, if we go to John and we read John in the future, which we'll get to, you know, first was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. And as it goes through, it explains nothing has been created at all without God, without the Word. So understand something. Christ is the Word. So Christ, male without blemish, Christ is perfect. He did not sin while he was here on this earth. So again, we are seeing, and why are we referencing that back and forth? Because Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for us, for our mistakes, where we were burning and offering sacrifices before. God knew that we just could not meet those terms. We could not behave ourselves. We are a stiff-necked people. And how do we know that? He had it with Moses, right? When we were going through Exodus. They are a stiff-necked people. I'm going to stay outside the camp, or I'm going to put this outside the camp. At least I consume them along the way. I would say that God is merciful, God is loving, God is just, God is right, and we have agitated him. We have angered him. We have made him wax hot by our actions all along the way. So what was the only sacrifice that he could do, which, because he loves us no matter what? That's the greatest part of this book that I tell you. This is what makes it the greatest true love story of all time, is because no matter what we did and how many times we did it, God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. Even in the biggest moments of our stupidity, He's never left us. And what did he do? He sacrificed his one and only son, who is a part of him. How do we know that? Because in Matthew it says, God is in me, I am in God. So you're going to start to see these things, these exactly how these things are going, these parallelisms. You're going to see everything as we go through. So let's we're going to get moving here. All right. In his offering, be a burnt sacrifice for the herd. Let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And this is going to follow up. You're going to see this in Deuteronomy. It's going to be 15:21. Notice what he says here. The words are so important. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Here's that. Here's the two words, voluntary will. And we need to put this into practice today, because what do we have that is either going to bring us closer to God or separate us from God? People are like, oh, I don't believe in hell. You know what hell is? At least for me, the worst part of it is being ignored by God, him turning his back. That's it. That to me is the worst thing. God saying, I don't know you. I couldn't imagine going through that. And I don't want to imagine it. But that's exactly what it is to me. That's the worst part of it. I don't know what else goes on. I don't want to know, because I don't want to be there. So what do we remember here? Voluntary will. Free will. Every single human, every living thing, free will. And what I like is, how will you respond? That's the thing. So, verse 4, chapter 1, page 122, King James, and we're talking about the burnt offerings here. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. So now you're starting to see, here's the atonement part. It's not atonement for God. It's atonement for us, for what we've done wrong. And this poor animal is dying because of our mistakes. And so will his son. That's the thing. So here we go. And he should kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around and upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And you remember at the Passover, what happened? God said, go ahead, paint the door frame and everything, cover it, get it with the blood, the lamb's blood and everything. There, again, another one. Who is the lamb? The lamb is Christ. So God knew by seeing this going through, and he went ahead and passed those houses. And then in everyone else's houses, he killed the firstborn. Hence, we call it the Passover. So when they're sprinkling the blood and everything, I want you to think about that, because that's exactly what that's represent too. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts of the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is in the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priests shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord, a pleasing aroma. Okay, a pleasing aroma. How close is God? God is outside of time, space, and matter. He's everywhere. So yeah, we know through Revelation, when we start to get in there, that the spirits, because this is a spiritual relationship that we have. We're looking at it from a flesh relationship here in the world, but it's not. We're spiritual. Understand that. We have a soul. All of us do. But we know in Revelation, when they're up in heaven and they're saying, how long, Lord, before you avenge us? Just a little while longer. And then he comforts them. How? He puts white robes around him. So we know that we're communicating. We're hearing. We're talking. We're seeing. We're touching, obviously, because the white robes around us. We have form. God can smell the sweet Savior. It's a pleasant aroma. If you smell something, you know your taste buds go. I would say that pretty much represents all of it. All five senses, right? Plus more. What else don't we know? So, but you're seeing this, and it's important to make sure that you understand why they're doing this exactly, why and in what way. But his inwards, his legs, shall be washed in water. So we know that. And the offering be of flocks, namely of sheep, or of the goats of a burnt sacrifice. He shall bring it, a male without blemish, again, clean. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar, northward, before the Lord. In the priests, Aaron's sons shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut into pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. There is a procedure that God has taught them all the way through exactly how this is going to be done. Remember, we're dealing with God. Okay? The just perfect creator, the only creator. Everything needs to be done perfectly before his eyes. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt offering made by fire of a sweet savior unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop, his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt offering, or a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savior unto the Lord. No question that all of this has to be done in this order. It's part of the law. It shows that we also are mindful of how we can't be I people all the time. I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that. It doesn't work that way. We should be giving thanks to God for letting us live every day. Thanks to God for just blessing us with all that we have. And we don't. And that goes into Paul. And you can, when you start to read in the New Testament, Paul, and I don't care where you go in there, but everything that we are given, everything that we do, he knows when it's in time, what it is to need, what it is to want, and when it is to have plenty. So it's important, but all these things must be done perfectly before the Lord, because really, that's who we owe for all the wonderful things that happen to us. So the meat offering. And will any will, and here we go, and when any will offer a meat offering, and you notice, there it is again, will. You have free will to offer this. unto the Lord. His offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron, the sons of the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, and with the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. You ever cook a steak and you think, oh, wow, that smells so good, doesn't it? And they taste wonderful and everything. And you're thinking, okay, is that what this is about? No, it is, but it's not. This is a dedication to God. It's any will offer. When any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, that's saying, thank you, please forgive me, you know, making atonement, repentance, everything. And there it is. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And why? Why to Aaron and his sons? Well, they're the Levitical priests that God has put in the order of Melchizedek, which we read before in Genesis, the king of Salem. That comes out of nowhere. Really doesn't talk much about him. But Abraham gave one-tenth of the plunder when he went and rescued his people, right? To this king. The king of Salem. And then it really doesn't discuss anymore after that. But it is a high priest that God has appointed. So in the order of Melchizedek. So here we go. And Aaron is one of these high priests, and his sons are priests. And you know what? It doesn't really mention, you know, high priest. But the thing is, God anointed him priest. So, yes, he is. And if thou bring an oblation of meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. It's a spread. And if any oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. It's a flat plate. That's what they are. And if any oblation be of meat offering, bacon in a frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priests, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his sons. It is the thing most holy of offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not burn on the altar for a sweet savor. Very specific again, everything all the way down the line, unleavened bread and everything else. And we're seeing what can go on the fire, what can't go on the fire. There are things that's not supposed to go on the fire. Honey's one of them. The fruits, another. Things that, you know, you and I wouldn't even think about cooking on the fire to begin with. So the cakes, the, you know, just all the different things that they have, the flatbread, everything else that they have, everything has a specific way of being done and given. And the parts that afterward to go to Aaron and his sons for doing their service. Understand, they're ministering unto God. So, and what does that mean? Well, basically, God is teaching them everything. Okay, so they're ministering unto God. They're to take that ministry and they're going forward to the people and teaching them. Hopefully they've learned, but we're going to find out that we really don't learn that much at all. But that's their task. That's their portion for what they're doing. That's their payment, their portion for what they're doing. And this works the same with the inheritance also. There wasn't a land inheritance for them. There was a part set aside, but it wasn't really an inheritance for them. They were in somebody else's area. So let's get on with it. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it. And of course, we know is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's a token part to the priests. The peace offering. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Now you saw there was some on the north side. You saw it somewhere on the eastward side. Now you're seeing it all around. Okay, different alterings. That's how they sprinkle different areas. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks. And the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And I mean the loins, you know, everything, the appendages inside, everything is going to be removed. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish, always without blemish. And you're going to see that a lot in this. And it needs to be done this way. Remember, God is going to lay down his son. And this is before we knew of Christ, right? Well, no, we really knew of Christ all the way back in the beginning. And how do we know? Well, you know, I've read, not only have I gone through the Bible, this is my fifth time. I know it from John and what John said. First, there was the Word. So we know this. We know that Christ has been and has always been. But you can see that he was perfect. God is, this whole thing is being mapped out. And to people that read this Bible for the first time, they don't see it. But the whole thing is being mapped out. And you're going to see how relative it is from the Old Testament to the New Testament of Christ and the things they're talking about predicting Christ. Moses has already been discussing this. So here we go. And a sacrifice of peace, an offering unto the Lord, be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by the fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof and the whole rump. And it shall, it shall he take off. Hard by the backbone and the fat that covereth the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards. So the entrails and everything like that. And the kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now you'll notice it's not just a sweet savior, right? It's not just a sweet savior now. It is the food offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you're probably thinking, well, why does God need food? He's God. He doesn't. It's a food offering. That's what this is. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregations. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer, therefore, his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, that the fat covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys in it, shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that we eat neither fat nor blood. Don't eat meat with blood inside of it. It's to be drained. It's not considered clean if you're eating it with the fat and the blood still in it. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if a priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. So a priest who's installed in office, and understand this is done. God put Aaron and his sons in charge, so we're still here at that point. But he's also talking about the future too, okay? And do priests sin? Yeah, absolutely. We're going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. And we're human beings. And the same for priests, the same for clergy, the same for rabbis, the same for, deacons, bishops, whoever. They're all going to make mistakes. So understand, this is how they were doing the sacrifices. And I think it's important to understand that no one, not one, and we know this, is good upon the earth. Not one. None of us. We're all sinners. And that's why we needed Christ. And that's why Christ, came, was to bridge that gap, because he knew we were going to sin. God took a piece of himself, his one and only son, and sacrificed it, so because he knew that there's no way we can't sin. So understand that. So here we go. But this was back then before Christ. So you can see how this is going to line up as we go along. And it's going to get more and more intense as we go. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of a sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock, the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock and his flesh with his head and with his legs, and with his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock, shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through arrogance, ignorance, the thing shall be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they shall have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned is against it is known when the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. He's making sure that if they all do something out of ignorance, and they've done this before, whining, complaining, and everything else, and they have sinned multiple times against God, that they all put their hands on it. It blocks out the sin. So, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood on the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for the sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And that's it. That's how they have to be forgiven for their mistakes. And this is going to be so true in the New Testament when Christ comes on the scene and dies for us. He's the ultimate sin, so that we don't have to do this anymore. He is the sin for us. And he chose it voluntarily himself. All right. And let me get back to right where we were, because I just kind of missed it, and I do this all the time. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth something against the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, and of his sin which he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female, without blemish, for a sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, the fat that is taken away from the sacrifice to the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, a sweet savior unto the Lord. And the priests shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for sin offering, he shall bring it, a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall pour out the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he committed, and it shall be forgiven him. So you can see that back then the priests made the atonement through God. God gave them that power, those instructions to take burnt offerings and do this, so that they be forgiven of sins. In the New Testament, Christ lays down his life. We can go directly and ask God for forgiveness, which is different, and it changes. But yet, we wouldn't know that if we didn't know the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is really, the Judea, is making room for the Christian. So understand that. This part of the Bible, without it, Christianity would not exist. Because we'd have to understand this first, the Torah, everything. We'd have to understand all this first in order to understand what took place at the time of Christ. It's very wonderful. It's really cool. Now, I want you to listen to the words on this very importantly. This is very important, okay? And I want you to understand that, listen to the designation. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or know of it, and he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. If a soul sin and hear the voice of him swearing, it is a witness whether he hath seen or known of it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. If he does not speak about it, if he does not talk about it. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of an unclean creepy things, or if it be hidden from him, he shall also be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanliness of man, whatsoever uncleanliness it be, then a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. If he's unaware, he's not guilty. But the second he becomes aware, he is guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be, that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing, and it shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement from him concerning the sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wringing off his head from the neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he not be able to bring two turtle doves or two pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring his offering of the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering, and he shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. And then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by the fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's as a meat offering. So you can see, we have sin offerings, we have burnt offerings, peace offerings, we have all kinds of offerings here. And you still have to ask for forgiveness. You're doing it through the priest, who you know, is then bringing that to the Lord for atonement. So you can be forgiven, but you're still doing that. And we still do that today. How do we do that? We ask God, Christ God, for forgiveness. Forgive us. We know we have sinned, and it's important that we ask that. It's important that we talk to Christ. It's our free will if you don't want to, but the bottom line is that we should, because there's things that we all know we did wrong. We know from the time that we were born what good and evil is. So we know. And when we make a mistake, is it our pride that gets in the way that we don't ask for forgiveness? God gives us a way of coming directly to Christ, talking to Christ, not having to go through somebody else, going directly to God and asking him for forgiveness. Because Christ is in God, God is in Christ. So Christ, he bridged that gap. And we go directly to him and ask him for forgiveness. Here's the trespass offering. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass, if a man, if a woman, if a soul, we all have a soul. And you'll notice in here too, also throughout the Bible, as we have seen, especially in Noah and everything else, God is looking at all of this. This is a living, breathing planet with living, breathing animals, with living, breathing souls, people. All of us, we all have souls and everything else. So it's for all of us. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance and the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation, that by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the burnt that he hath, or for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priests. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, through he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for the trespass offering, unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein erred, and wist it not, it shall be forgiven of him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. So when we say our prayers, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive those who trespassed against us. But, and I'll get to that as we come along, because it's a definition Christ used in Matthew. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And this is when God is explaining us, how do we go into a closet or to a quiet place to talk to God, and what that prayer should be. But it's been said before, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespassed against us. These things happen by mistake. We don't know any better sometimes, but we still do it. So as Christ tells us, as we already know, always forgive. Always forgive. Because if you judge and you don't forgive, then we get judged. And by the same amount that you judge is how you will be judged. So think about that. Okay, so we're on chapter 6. We're at page 127 now. We're moving right along. And the Lord's, and we're, you know what? Because 8:53 now. So what we're going to do, I think we're going to stop at chapter 6 right here. I'm going to put this down. 3:24:25. Isn't that weird? It's the 25th month, and we're already on the third month. That's crazy. And moving right along to the fourth month. So, easy boy. That's my dog in the background. He's got allergies too. So, all right, let me turn this on here. So anyway, we're moving right along. We're going through the Bible. And like I said, we're going to read this in a year. We have been on this journey, and look at how far we have gotten. We have gotten very far. So, in just a short amount of time. So we're on chapter 6, page 127, King James Bible. We're still talking about the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the trespass offerings, the fellowship offerings, just everything, free will offerings. We've now hit into where it says, if a soul sin, you're seeing we're slowly being upgraded. If a soul, I love that. Not if you sin or if a man sin or if he does this. No, if a soul. There is more to you than just flesh. It is starting to get into this now. And we've already known this, but now it's you're seeing it. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. It's really cool. We're seeing the offerings for the priests. That's coming up. Chapter 11 is really cool. It's going to be talking about the animals of the earth. Okay? And, you know, the living things in the water, the creeping things, the carcasses of unclean animals, the winged insects, birds of the air. We're going to get in here and absolutely God is going to cover this. It's important. So it's going to be really cool. But next week we're going to catch up here and we're going to get on chapter 6. I'm sure we'll probably get right on over there. And believe it or not, we're going to be heading into Numbers faster than you think. So, what a trip it's been so far. What a great adventure. And as you start to see this, you understand how everything is starting. You're starting to see the things in the background. You're starting to understand the rules. You're understanding the covenants. You're understanding the laws. You're understanding, the commands. All those things that God has laid upon us and before us, there is a reason for all of it. All the praise and glory go unto God. And I think that it is so important, and we forget that. Something good happens to you, and you're thinking, yeah, that was great, you know? And it kind of gets rid of that I problem. When you do something, and it answers questions too. You know, people are like, well, why would God need to rest? Do you ever think that God just looked back and said, okay, that's beautiful, it's good? Not that he was taking a nap. I mean, we covered this already. But looking back and seeing what he did. We do that, but we don't understand that the only way that we could do that is because God has given us the tools in order to do it and the knowledge in order to do it. So when we do our daily jobs, the knowledge that you have, the skills that you have, understand they're no different than what God gave, you know, back then, our descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they built the tabernacle and everything else, cunning work, the information how to do that, that's what he's given us. So we do, and that's glory to God, and we need to give that glory to God. It's not us. We're not that smart. Trust me, we're not that smart. But anyway, we're going to get into this. I love doing it. I love jumping around. I love talking about different things. But we're going to get back into next week, chapter 6, as I said. And, you know, it's part of all the offerings. And we're going to cover the burnt offering, the meat offering, the sin offering. And, you know, even though we have been covering it, but you know what? It's going to get really neat. I look forward to it. Have a great week, you guys. Much love. Be kind to one another. Slow down. Don't overthink things. Slow down. Trust God. Have faith in him. He knows what he is doing. It's going to be in his time. Don't rush it. When you rush it, I'm going to tell you that's when things go bad. because we try to do things on our own. And you know what? You want to know the truth? We need God. We need God. And every day I see miracles. Every single day. And your definition of miracles and my definition might be two different things, but I will tell you, every day I see wonderful miracles, things that happen right before my eyes that I'm just amazed. And now the more I delve into God's word, the more that these things really stick out, you know, and are brought forward more into my eyesight. So be good to each other. Love each other. Take care. See you next week. Thanks for stopping by for, you know, a little bit of a life walk with Christ God. Take care, guys.